so good to be able to sing like this. Merry Christmas. The last few weeks at our church, we've been lighting candles for Advent, waiting for this longing for Christ the child to be born. The first Sunday, we lit the candle of hope. The next Sunday, we lit the candle of peace. On the third, we lit the candle of joy. And on the fourth Sunday, just yesterday, we lit the candle of hope. And today, tonight, we light the candle of the Christ candle. I want to talk to us a little bit about today, about something that I've been learning. You good with that? Something that I've been learning that's actually caught my attention. And I had this question about, we understand who Jesus, we hear the story about Jesus, and we talk about Jesus, as in some of us in Christian circles, but what does it mean to understand Jesus Christ? Is this his last name? I want to give us a quick overview of what I'm going to do tonight. We're going to look at the name Christ. We're going to look at the significance of the manger. And we're also going to look at the word, another word for him, Emmanuel. Those three things we want to look at. And I also want us to understand, and as we're doing this, to look at the manger during this time. I'm wondering if the manger in the Christmas story is giving us hints, or maybe even clues, as to who and how the rule and reign of Jesus Christ becomes and comes about. So let's look at the word or the name Christ. The word Christ has been a long and interesting word in history. It's an Old Testament word. It comes from an Old Testament word. The Jewish people were longing for a day when they would see their king come and rule not only them, but all of the other countries, rule the entire world. The Hebrew word for this king was Messiah. It means anointed one. Later, in the New Testament, this word Messiah was translated into Greek, which is Christos. Can everybody say Christos? There you go. And then it was translated English to mean and to say what? Christ. Okay. So the name Christ is not Jesus' last name, even though for a long time, especially when I was younger, that's what I thought. Instead, Christ is a very special name that is more like a title than a name. Titles today describe people's jobs and explain what they do or maybe who they are. Can some of the kids think of maybe some titles? You probably know lots of people with titles. Maybe teacher Shelley, or coach Gary, Dr. Hansen, or nurse Dan, or president. So it might make more sense for us to say Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ. Jesus was a very typical name in that time in history, so the title of Christ is actually speaking to his kingship. But this kingship looks a lot different than what most kings and rulers would have looked like at the time, especially in the first century during the Roman rule, which we're going to get to in a minute. All of the songs, the two that we've already sang, the songs that we're going to sing later on, all of these songs and carols that you're about to sing, that you came to sing about, is referring to Christ, is referring to Jesus as King or Christ. And I'm hoping that this will help us give a bit of imagination of who this Christ might be in a new way. So as you sing them later tonight, it'll give new meaning and wonder to this name. Let's look at Scripture. In Scripture, it says this: Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ and through God reconcile everything to himself. So, the easy way to say this, kids, is this: If you want to look to who God is, you want to understand who God is, you look to Jesus. If we want to understand who God is, our best understanding is the person of Jesus, if we want to see God in a human form. Here, God is saying his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And so now, we have this Christ coming to heaven. During this time, I'd like us to think and ponder about what maybe even contrast the way that God's kingdom is established through the rule and reign of Jesus, the Christ, as opposed to maybe some other kingdoms. Maybe let's talk about the history during that time. Let's look at the manger. We have a simple manger up front, here in front of the Christmas tree. I'm not sure if this is what the manger looked like. The manger in first century Judea, it might have been a hole in the ground with some hay, actually. We're not sure, but this is our rendition of a manger. And there probably would have been hay in there, but it's a feeding trough. In Luke's account, the Christmas story in chapter 2, which we're going to read later on, in those 20 verses, the manger is mentioned how many times? Three times during that time. So let's explore the meaning of this word and what a manger is. The birth of this little boy is the beginning, I really believe, and most people, is the beginning now. We didn't see this manger. The confrontation between how the kingdom of God comes about in all of its apparent weaknesses, its insignificance, its vulnerability of being born and laid in a manger. And that being contrasted with the kingdoms and world and the kingdoms and systems of this world. Jesus the Christ was born into a broken world and placed in a manger, a feeding trough, not a palace, not a gold crib, but a manger. 30 years before the birth of Jesus, Rome, under the rule of Caesar Augustus, became a huge empire through military power and dominance. Augustus spoke of his father, Julius Caesar, as being divine, as being God. And then so Caesar Augustus could say that he himself was the Son of God. Much was written about Augustus during this time, saying that he was the Savior of the world, saying that Caesar Augustus, he was the king and lord of that known world. Let's just say there was a lot of fake news being written about Caesar Augustus at the time. Caesar Augustus was considered lord and king. So I wonder about this. I wonder if this is why Scripture says, at just the right moment in time, at just the right moment in time, when Rome was conquering and killing and conquering everyone, just the moment in time that God said, I want my people and all people to know what a real king looks like. I want my people and all the world to know what it looks like to be a ruler in this world. I wonder if that was just the right time. And so enter this manger, a little Jewish town, in Bethlehem, under Roman occupation. The manger gives some hints of how this Christ, how this king is going to rule and reign. It's going to look different from anything the world has ever seen or maybe even will see. The true Savior of the world is being born in a lowly manger. The true Savior of the world is not attempting to conquer its people, but instead is showing that God is willing to enter into the brokenness, to enter into the world and be present in the midst of our vulnerability and our mess. The manger in the Christmas story gives us hints to who God is